Welcome to our first podcast. We're going to be on all platforms: YouTube, Anchor, Spotify, Instagram. Our handle is Dynasty Football Talk, but our Twitter handle is at Dynasty Football, or FFT, to be precise. And we're just going to hop right into it, all right?
Yes. So first thing we're going to talk about is what our scoring settings are like in our league that we're in together. Throughout this podcast, I think we're going to primarily focus on and talk about things as if they were part of our league. At some points, we may like adapt and make things more general. But when listening to the stuff we're saying, make sure that you adjust if needed to your league settings. So we play in a super flex league. It's half point PPR, and then half point PPR tight end premium. So full point PPR for tight ends. We start one quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, a tight end. We have two flexes, a super flex. And it's also an IDP league. We start three D linemen, three linebackers, three DBs, and we have an IDP flex. IDP scoring, we use standard ESPN scoring, as long as it's the same as like 2019 standard ESPN scoring. It's 1.5 points for a solo tackle, 0.75 for an assisted tackle. It's 4 points for fumble recovery, forced fumble, 5 points for an INT. 6 points for a defensive touchdown, 2 points for a safety block kick. I think that's everything, right? 2 points for a pass defense, if I didn't say that. We don't have kickers in our league, but the way we had, like, just in case, like, someone decides to go rogue and kick a field goal, we have 3 points for a field goal made, and then every point. For every yard beyond 30 yards, is an additional 0.1. So, like, for example, a 42-yard field goal would be 4.2 points. It's minus one for a missed field goal and missed PAT, and it's 1 point for a PAT. So those are our scoring settings that we're going to be talking about in, like, all our rankings. Everything's going to be based on those scoring settings. I mean, that's everything about scoring settings, like what our preferences are.
So I guess we'll just jump right into it then. So we'll start off by addressing the elephant in the room. So obviously anybody who's heard anything about the news this week has heard about Antonio Brown and his little drama that happened. So if anybody doesn't know, Antonio Brown took off his shoulder pads, his helmet, threw him off to the side, and then took off his shirt and gloves and threw him into the stands. Gave the whole crowd a big peace out sign on his way out the stadium. Yeah, that man, his career came. He had a Hall of Fame career for like, what was it, 10 years, and then all that drama happened a few years ago. He came back. And it started looking bright again with him and Tom Brady, with all the praise he was getting from Tom, and then the downward spiral just kicked in. And now who knows if he will ever play another game for in the NFL.
Well, there is a report out saying that he was too hurt. Like, he said that he was too hurt to go back in to play. But I think that's cap, because he was running and like jumping as he was leaving the stadium. I don't think a person that was too hurt would be running and jumping to leave the stadium to go get an Uber and fly home.
Yeah, and with Mike Evans on the sideline trying to convince him to stay on the sideline, if he was too hurt, Mike Evans would just tell him to go to the trainer, or he'd go into that big blue tent that's on the sideline. He wouldn't leave the stadium and get a flight back to Tampa before his team went back. So that's definitely not that's definitely cap. But
Do you guys think you will play again?
Oh no, no chance. I don't think anybody will even like work him out after his antics with the Raiders, with the Patriots, and now with Buccaneers. He's just literally filled with problems. I can't see why another team would even pick him up.
I mean,
Jason.
I think he could. The only reason I think he's going to play in the NFL again is if it like next year or the year after he, because he's like his football talent, like he can play, but it's the off the field stuff that keeps him off. So if he, if
Well,
like
this
a
is on
big,
the field, actually.
well, that's true. But if he, like if he, if there's a wide receiver that goes down next year, like a star wide receiver that goes down with an ACL or something, like a season-ending injury, I can see a playoff team wanting to get him to keep their playoff hopes alive. Like if Derrick Henry were a receiver, like that type of injury, like if there was an injury that kept a star wide receiver off or another team that just wanted to add another wide receiver, I could see why. I'm not sure if he'll ever be fantasy relevant again, though, because fantasy seasons go from like week one to like week 15 or 16, or maybe even 17 now that there's that extra week. But I think he could play again in the NFL. I just don't know if he's ever going to be fantasy relevant again.
I if I had to say if he would play again or not, I do think he would play because I've thought multiple times that he wasn't going to play again when the whole Raiders thing happened and then the Patriots thing happened, but he kept coming back. I mean, I think if Josh Gordon can keep getting chances, I think Antonio Brown will still get chances. Because he's proven to be a better player than Josh Gordon now. I mean, I adjusted my rankings last night, and I have Antonio Brown above people like KJ Hamler. I have Antonio Brown at 74, wide receiver 74. I'd rather take a shot on him than like someone like James Washington. Like, I think if yeah, Antonio, like worst case scenario, he doesn't come back. But if he does come back, I anticipate he would put up better numbers than any of like than a lot of players. So I would rather take that shot on him with the chance that he doesn't come back. I mean he's like, yeah, he's a clown, but like he's still like super talented. He's super talented. He's a super talented clown. So
He is a clown, but like I could see where he could come back and play. Maybe a team gives a shot to him after a superstar. But like even the Patriots couldn't keep him under wrap, and the Patriots are like one of the strictest teams in the NFL. And I don't feel like another team should give him a chance after this.
Well, and if you think about it, every team with Tom Brady is different. Like Tom Brady has his own rules that he implements on that those teams. And when he was on the Patriots and on the Bucs, Tom Brady was there. So they were kind of the same scenario. I mean, I know one has Bill Belichick, who's obviously different and like a different animal, but like Antonio Brown, the Patriots and the Bucs situations weren't too much of different. It's just Antonio Brown doesn't want to comply with any, like he just always enough's enough when he decides it is. So, I mean, yeah, he's just got to find the right fit and just work and play football for like 8 weeks, and then he'll have another extravaganza, like another crazy thing. But
I think he needs to get like mentally healthy. I think he needs to get mentally healthy. I think that's like the bigger thing. He seems like not, I mean, I'm not like a doctor or anything, but like what I'm seeing does not seem like a normal person.
yeah, CTE's kicking in.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move to the next topic. So we're going to cover Cincy offense after the last 2 weeks. Joe Burrow has had 900 yards, 8 touchdowns, no picks, 2 weeks. It's absolutely nuts. So I'll let Holmes, do you want to start off with this? Just start wherever you want. T. Higgins last week, Joe Burrow 2 weeks, all that stuff. Just start
Jeez.
wherever you want. We'll kind of build off.
Yeah, I think I think it's very easy to believe in the Bengals offense. I don't want to like toot my own horn, but I basically own the entire Bengals offense besides Mixon and Uzama. I have the three receivers in Burrow. And it's nice being able to see them coexist. Now, I don't think they're going to, I don't think they're going to throw for 400 yards every week. I think this can be like a very rare occurrence still, but I do anticipate that this offense will be a top five offense for like many years to come, especially if they start investing in an O-line. I think that should be the number one priority. Nick and I were talking about this a couple days ago about Uzama. I don't think he's, I mean, he's been like usable, but I feel like that's more of just because like defense are kind of focusing on Mixon and Chase and Higgins and Boyd. That Uzama was kind of the afterthought in that offense, but he like he had a few solid weeks in the beginning of the year, right?
Like yeah, he's had like a few solid weeks like throughout the year. Like he had a couple like 80 yard weeks, but other than that, he's pretty much silent for the Bengals.
I mean, I think that's like tight end and O-line are the only things that they can really improve. Like, obviously, everything else is like very, very good. I think it's reactionary to call Joe Burrow like a top five dynasty quarterback right now. I could see the argument. I saw there's a Reddit post about that. Who would he have to be above to be top five? I'm not taking him over Mahomes or Kyler. I'm not taking him over Josh Allen. And like he's kind of in that tier with like Herbert, Dak, Lamar. But I think I'd still take all three of them ahead of him.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think it's hard because there's like eight like elite quarterbacks. Or seven? Seven or eight elite quarterbacks. Seven elite quarterbacks. And until like something drastic happens, I don't see... I mean, Joe Burrow can get in there, but as of right now, I see him just on the outside of it. Maybe he can eclipse one or two of them, but I don't... I would count it as a stretch to say he's a top five fantasy quarterback. I think it's just more reactionary about what happened the past 2 weeks, especially, like... I mean, if they get, like, a solid offensive line going, then maybe, yeah. But, I mean, as of right now, I kind of think he's kind of just, like, clipped at that like 6-7-8 or like 5-6-7 range, but I don't think you can just necessarily call him a top five.
Yeah, I think the difference between him being elite or not, like I think he still can be good, is their offensive line. A lot of situations with quarterbacks tend to go down to their offensive line. If their offensive line's not good, they tend to have a lot more trouble. I mean, even look at like Baker Mayfield. He's got a good offensive line. He's still shit because he can't make any decisions. But Burrow is able to make decisions. He's got great pocket presence, and I think he can. He has very high potential in being elite further down in his career.
I agree. I think. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was just going to bring up a point. So this right now is where the regular season would normally end if it weren't for this new game that's added this season. So I just wanted to bring up, because after the end of last season was Justin Jefferson's rookie season. And everyone was going nuts after his rookie season, after he absolutely exploded onto the scene, right? But Justin Jefferson at the end of last year finished at wide receiver 6 in standard and PPR. And he ended it with 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns, which is bonkers. And Jamar Chase on 88 receptions. Jamar Chase has 79 receptions, so only 9 difference. Through 16 games has 1,429, so more yards, but only 29, but still, and 13 touchdowns. So at the end of last season, we were putting Jamar or Justin Jefferson like as a top three wide receiver, and obviously Jamar Chase is a top three dynasty wide receiver now as well. But does this vault Chase into that number one role? Like is he kind of like locked into that number one role now, or are we still siding with Jefferson? I know personally I'm still siding with Jefferson. Just because I think, well, one, he's obviously not competing for targets with anybody besides Adam Thielen, who's like 31 years old. But I mean, like, do you guys have a say in that? Like, do you guys have one high over the other? Or are they neck and neck with each other? Personally, I have Jefferson just a little bit. I mean, not crazy amount, but like, they're not like complete neck and neck, but I have Jefferson just a little bit over the Ja'Marr Chase level.
Nick, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I'll go. I feel like between Jefferson and Chase, both are brilliant young wide receivers, I would say. I would personally side with Jefferson more, only because, like, targets, and Jefferson's a little bit more consistent than Chase in fantasy. Only because Chase, he's had, like, 700 or 800 receiving yards in, like, or maybe 600, but in like four games. And Jefferson throughout the entire season was really consistent, and Chase had just like a few, or like a couple weeks where he just like put up nothing because of the target share with T. Higgins there. I don't know if you could really call him a number one receiver with T. Higgins and him. I think they pretty much have two number one receivers in the Bengals offense.
That doesn't concern me having T. Higgins there. I think they can both coexist. When Chase, like, obviously he like came onto the scene like scorching hot to start off the season, but then defenses started double teaming him, which allowed Burrow to find other weapons like Uzama, Higgins, Boyd had a couple good games sprinkled in there. So that doesn't worry me. I think if you're going to make the argument that like he can't be the number one overall receiver because Higgins is there, like Adam Thielen is just as competent as Higgins in my eyes right now. Like, I know the long-term outlook on Higgins is much higher, is much better than Thielen, but like Justin Jefferson's able to coexist with Thielen just fine. So I don't know if that's like that's not something that scares me from Chase. I'm not like lower on him because Higgins is there. If anything, it does take away some attention from him having Higgins, who is like an elite number two receiver there. But I do think Jefferson is the best receiver in Dynasty. I think Chase is second. Jefferson, even though he's just 1 year older, he's gotten better in his second year already. Like we've seen two seasons of him doing this, of 1400 plus yards. I think there is a pretty sizable gap between Jefferson and Chase. I think he is the clear cut number one receiver in Dynasty, and it would probably take a major injury for him and like get knocked down from that for me right now. I don't see anyone like challenging him in the near future.
Yeah, so yeah. I think we're all pretty, we have a consensus on that. I mean, I know throughout the consensus of the Dynasty world, it's kind of split. Some people have Chase all the way up and some people have Jefferson. I mean, that's all up for interpretation though. But we'll move on to the next thing. So
no, Nick, you were going to say something.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what do you guys think about Joe Mixon? Jason, you can lead off.
Yeah.
So Joe Mixon, I mean, I'm obviously a little lower on Joe Mixon than a lot of people are. It's not because I'm a big or like, it's not because I don't believe in Joe Mixon. I think that there's a lot of people that can do what he's doing right now, and his contract's up this year. So I'm just not sure what his outlook's going to look like for the rest of his career. Right. Like I'm not sure if the Bengals are going to re-sign him to a big contract. I would assume that the Bengals.
He recently signed an extension, I believe.
Yeah. I thought it was like a 3-year extension.
Oh, well then my bad. I mean, if as long as he stays in that Cincy offense, then I think he can provide a lot of valuable work to fantasy owners and to the Bengals in general. But yeah, as long if he stays in Cincy, then I mean I'm all for it. But if he leaves Cincy, then I'm not sure what his outlook would look like, and stuff like that.
I like Mixon a lot. He's impressed me a lot this year. I think his health is being a running back, like a very quality running back in an offense as explosive as the Bengals project to be, is always going to be a good thing. It's why people loved Clyde so much when he got drafted to the Chiefs. It's why I loved Clyde so much. I think Mixon, I mean, he's my RB10. I have him above Saquon, Nick Chubb. I think he's a very valuable asset. So I don't think someone can just come in and do what he's doing. I think you'd have to take a talented back to come in and do what he's doing, because Joe Mixon is a talented back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, sorry to jump in, but I mean, I didn't want to like say Joe Mixon's a nobody. Like, obviously, we know he's talented. He came out, he's been balling for weeks on weeks on weeks. Or, I mean, like, years on years on years. But I guess I just mean, like, this. I have a bad feeling that this offense could just start going super pass-heavy. And this could kind of turn into a Kansas City-type offense where, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right now he's the running back for that passing offense. He doesn't get those like 25 touches a game. He doesn't get those 25, 30 touches a game. Joe Mixon, I mean, he gets 20, but like around 20, which if he can stay around that mark, I think that's good for him. But if this offense starts going heavy with throwing to T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, because nobody can really guard them, then I think it can get real scary for him, which is unfortunate because he's a talented back. But I guess I'm scared about the outcome that could happen. I guess I'm looking at it on the downside of it. But yeah, he's very talented. He's very good. And I would have him around the 15 range. I haven't updated my rankings, but yeah, I would probably have him around like the 15-ish range. So, Nick, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I think Joe Mixon's really good. I think he's top 10. I think he's somewhat limited due to his carries, because I think it's gonna switch to a little bit more pass heavy offense. There is a possibility is what they do, like maybe they want to be more like the Cowboys that try to do a 50-50, but they also got Zeke and Pollard, a 1-2 punch, and the Bengals don't really have a 1-2 punch. They really only have Mixon. But so one other thing I'm concerned with like Mixon is his health, because he was injured pretty much all of last season. And I mean, he came back this year and he's been healthy all this season, which is a huge plus for the Bengals. And I just he's a top 10 back. He's so talented and he gets the job done on, I would say, a limited amount of carries for him. That's pretty much all I got to say about Joe Mixon.
You guys want to jump to the next topic on here? Is there anything else you guys want to cover about this? Yeah. Offense?
One thing I want to say is T. Higgins is a top 10 dynasty receiver. And that's something that like I stand by. I think it's like, yeah, I just want to say that. Like, people shouldn't get afraid that Ja'Marr Chase is there. T. Higgins is going to put up numbers.
I mean, I agree. We've seen... What's a good example? I mean, you got Amari Cooper and CeeDee. You got Woods and Kupp. You got
Jefferson Metcalf and
Lockett. You got Jefferson and Thielen. Like, there's a lot of offenses where they can have two high-volume receivers. Like, Mike Evans and Godwin. Like, it just keeps going on and on. Like, a lot of teams, a lot of the really good teams with high-powered offenses have two high-powered receivers that can get a lot of volume and also, like, do a lot with very little. So, like, when Ja'Marr Chase was going off, T. Higgins can still do stuff with like little amounts of volume. I mean, obviously it's not great for fantasy owners, but like on the off weeks, it's still a good week. So I agree with the, I think since he has two top 10 receivers, and I think T. Higgins is being underlooked because of Ja'Marr Chase being there.
Mm-hmm. we can move on to the next topic. Trey, you want to talk about Trey Lance?
Trey Lance, yeah. Unfortunately, I had to work on Sunday, so I wasn't able to sit down and watch the game. But man, he looks pretty good.
Nick, I think you guys want to jump in. Did you watch more of the Niners game? I had to go, so I didn't see the Niners game.
I didn't really get to see the Niners game.
Okay, well, as far as looking at the stat line, I think it's very solid for his second start. He's very raw. I mean, he basically took the year off last year, and is basically took the year off this year too. It's been like almost 2.5 years since he's like really been playing football. So I anticipated rust. He was already a raw prospect to begin with, but I think the outlook for Trey Lance is very, very good. He's my QB8. I have him as the highest QB for this rookie class above Trevor Lawrence. I think the recipe there is great for him. I think obviously with his rushing floor, he's going to have a solid floor due to his rushing and high upside. I anticipate there's going to be design runs for him, which is very good by the goal line, especially. And the pass catchers that he has, between Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, they're all great after the catch. He doesn't need to be slinging it 50 yards downfield to put up high numbers. He could just do these short intermediate routes and let them rack up yards for him. So I think he is in one of the best spots, not just for a rookie, but in the whole league for a quarterback right now. I think if we saw someone like Deshaun Watson go to the Niners, I think people would be touting him as like easy top five quarterback in Dynasty. But I think because Trey Lance hasn't shown it yet, he's being ranked a lot lower. I do anticipate though that he's going to be putting up like very, very high numbers.
You want to jump in with your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I can jump in. I think Trey Lance, like you said, is probably in the best spot he could possibly be in with Ayuk, Debo, and Kittle. That's three just absolutely great wide receivers and tight ends. Kittle's like one of the best tight end in the league. I think he's got high rushing upside. And with their offensive line, they're literally one of the most like run heavy offenses in the league. So really, Trey Lance does not have to do that much because they mix in runs all the time, and they just they're a run heavy offense.
So for me, Trey Lance is a top guy because building off of what Humza and Nick said, so this past week Trey Lance only threw 23 passes. So he only completed 16 of them, which is, I mean, that's a decent completion percentage. But he for those 16 completions, he got 249 passing yards, which is really good because when you're throwing to people like Ayuk, people like Debo, people like Kittle, and even Elijah Mitchell out of the backfield or something like that, right? It sets you up for success. And when, Trent Williams right now, honestly, is playing MVP level. Like, he has been absolutely absurd this year, which obviously helps for Trey Lance's blind side. But off of the two games that Trey Lance has started, he's gotten 14.5 fantasy points week 5 against the Cardinals, and then 19.6 fantasy points in this last week against Houston. But week 4, he played 51% of the snaps. When Garoppolo went out, he came in, played half the game, and got 20.4. So it really shows you that his rushing upside is there. And honestly, I think that this is a guy that you need to go get now if you can in your leagues, because he's about to go off. If he just gets a little bit, like if he gets that starting role next year, it's gonna be scary. I know Holmes was talking about the rust, about how he hasn't played in 2 years. Once he gets going, once he starts getting all these starter reps, he's gonna shake that off. I'm a big fan of Trey Lance's, and I would say he's kind of like a Josh Allen type. Like, he's got that rushing like with Josh Allen, like he's got the rushing floor, I should say, and he's also got like he can throw the ball too. The issue with Josh Allen, like how he's different from Josh Allen, is Josh Allen loves to throw the ball far. But the good thing about Trey Lance is he doesn't need to throw the ball far. He can dump the ball off. Like he can literally throw a slant and any of his receivers can take it to the house. But yeah, I guess that's just a little bit of my thoughts on him. I think he could have a top five quarterback season in him in the next 2-3 years. So I would say go grab him now before he explodes.
Where do you think you would have him in your rankings? I know you said you haven't updated him, but like around where?
I haven't updated him. I know when, if you guys want to talk real quick, I can try to find where I had him in my previous rankings, but it's, I had him, I want to say it was, he was, I think he was 10. I think he was quarterback 10 before I, that was last time I updated it was mid-season. So he was around quarterback 10. He was my quarterback 2 at the time because Trevor was still up there, but he's going to be my quarterback 1 of this class. I think he's got a higher future than all of the quarterbacks because his landing spot was absolutely perfect for him. So,
mm-hmm. Nick, do you have anything else to add?
I was going to move on to the next topic about what do you think about the upside with Kittle and Lance?
Okay, so
I think it's a downgrade that Lance is with Kittle.
No, people are freaking out about Kittle right now because Kittle hasn't put up high numbers with Trey Lance yet. But like, people are extrapolating a very short sample size. George Kittle is—he's the best player on that offense. I think he's a better player than Debo. I mean, but like, even if you want to argue that Debo is the better player. Trey Lance is going to learn sooner than later that like the kind of weapon George Kittle is, and that's the guy you have to feed targets to. People are freaking out about Kittle. It's too reactionary in my opinion. George Kittle's my tight end 2 in Dynasty. I know that's probably higher than most people. I only have him behind Kyle Pitts, but I think Trey Lance is an upgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think that's a very easy thing for most people to see. I feel like it should be an easy thing, but right now people are very down on Kittle and think he has like a downward trajectory. And I don't see it.
Jason, what do you got input on this?
I mean, the only thing I would say is the reason why I think people are freaking out and why people might say it's a downgrade is because Jimmy Garoppolo did throw more than Trey Lance does, which means the volume is a little bit down. But when you're talking about a guy like George Kittle literally can take one reception and take it for like 20 yards. Like he can do that multiple times a game. So if he just gets like, he can do that. He can be a very serviceable top tier elite tight end with only getting like 5, 6, 7, 8 targets a game. Like as long as he's in that range and he's like securing most of those targets, he'll be fine. Which Kyle Shanahan is one of the best offensive minded coaches in the NFL. So he will find a way to get Debo the ball, to get Kittle the ball. So I think people are, as Hamza said, overreacting when Kittle's numbers are a little bit lower. They just need to be patient. And I know fantasy football, I know some people need him to win this week, not next week or anything, but you just got to be patient because we're in dynasty fantasy football. So you literally just have to be patient and let Trey Lance develop and he'll get Kittle the ball. So that's my take.
I think Kittle will flourish in time because Trey Lance just needs to learn the system, needs to learn, obviously, how good Kittle is. And if you feed Kittle, you'll just see what happens. He produces. He puts up really good numbers, yards after catch. And that's a huge thing for tight ends. That's literally what you're looking for in a tight end. You put up yards per catch after a tight end, you're easily one of the best tight ends in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Ayuk is really going to flourish under Trey Lance because from the games that they've played together, that he's put up like 80, 90 yards in pretty much every game that Trey Lance has started so far. So Trey Lance just really likes Ayuk, but I feel like all of them are going to flourish because they're each going to get like 8-10 targets in the game. And it's just going to take time for Trey Lance to understand the system, I think.
I think part of the reason why Ayuk is doing well now with Trey Lance, and it seems like they have a pretty good chemistry going right now, is because when Ayuk was on the doghouse early in the year and was like playing with the second string, he was practicing with Trey Lance, right?
That could be the reason.
So I mean, I think they probably have more out of expect, like they have more practice reps together than like Trey Lance does with like Kittle or Debo. But yeah, Ayuk has looked good when Trey Lance has been in. I do think he will do better than he has been doing with Garoppolo. I think that's for sure.
I mean, I was just about to say the same thing that you did, Homza, about the second team reps. I don't see that chemistry going away. I just see once Trey Lance starts getting all those first team reps, I see the chemistry with Kittle and Debo getting better, which is a downgrade for Ayuk. But I mean, I see Ayuk having a good floor, just not as high as the ceiling as we would think as with Debo and Kittle there. But I don't think it's something to like shy away from or anything like that. I mean, he had some reports come out earlier in the season about his character not showing up for stuff and being a mess with coaches and everything, which is why he was in the doghouse and why he was taking second team reps. But I mean, yeah, I don't think it's anything to be scared of. I think people are overreacting again. I think they just have to be patient. And if you can go get Brandon Ayuk for a discount, I mean, I would go do it because he's a serviceable receiver that could have a ton of upside with Trey Lance.
All right. Well, moving on from Trey Lance, what do you guys think about TJ Watt closing on the record?
My Jason, boy. My boy. So obviously I have a little TJ Watt is close to my heart. I drafted him in our startup draft a few years ago, and he's been on my team ever since. And I don't see him leaving my team anytime soon because he has D-line eligibility for us. So I'm able to play him at D-line, and it's absolutely broken. But yeah, so closing in on the record, Michael Strahan had the 22.5 sack record. But the one thing that I want to highlight about that record is Michael Strahan, when he broke the record, a lot of people were mad because the guy in the Jets, I keep forgetting his name, he stole it from that guy because Brett Favre rolled out of the pocket and then, like, you know, fell down. I don't know if you guys know about that, but the one thing I want to highlight about this is I want TJ Watt to break this record because TJ Watt's only played in, like, he's missed some time too. So he's only played in, I want to say it's 13, maybe 14 games. So it's it's less than Michael Strahan played. Michael Strahan played all 16 games in that year, and TJ Watt's not going to play all 16. Even with this extra game, it's not going to be, I mean, yeah, that's like good on Michael Strahan for staying healthy all year. But I really want TJ Watt to break this record so that it can show everyone how dominant he was this week. I mean, last night we saw him get four sacks, and he did that against Seattle as well in overtime and literally won them that game. And I think I don't think TJ Watt's getting enough respect. I mean, I know he got paid like it this offseason, but I think he needs to win Defensive Player of the Year this year. I think he's been absolutely dominant for the Steelers in general, but also just D linemen. Like, he can do anything he wants to, and he can win against anyone he wants to.
So he's played 14 games, so next week would be his 15th game. I agree. I think TJ Watt is the clear Defensive Player of the Year front runner. If I had a vote, he'd be my clear vote. I don't think anyone comes close. I think it's him by like a very wide margin. I know some people are trying to say like Trayvon Diggs, he's got those picks, or Michael Parsons, because they're like the season that he's put up and he's just on like everything. But no one is as dominant on defense as TJ Watt is. And I think it's plain and simple that he should win Defensive Player of the Year this year. He's so broken in our league. Like, he's so broken because he racks up, he gets so many sacks, he gets tackles because he plays off the edge. He gets more tackles than like traditional D linemen do. Yeah, I mean, he's just so good.
I mean, I tried trading for him. I'm never going to get him now because Jason just loves him. But yeah, he's probably one of the most broken players in our league. He averages probably like 4 points more than any other D lineman in the league, which is just absolutely broken. I really hope he breaks the record because I like TJ Watt a lot. And really, he has played 14 games. Since one of the games he played, he had like injured ribs or something, so they didn't play a lot of snaps on him. But yeah, and 21 and a half sacks is just insane in 15 games, and he was hurt one game. But that's just insane. I really hope he breaks it because it's really cool to see players break records like that.
Do you have anything more to say about him?
Yes. So I just want to highlight that for D linemen, just to prove how dominant he is, TJ Watt has 204 fantasy points as a D lineman. And to put that into perspective, the next D lineman is Cameron Hayward, which is his teammate, with 165. So that's 50 more points than the second ranked player. And it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous on how OP he is. But yeah, oh my God, I love that man, and I want him to break that record.
Shows averages per week compared to other people's averages too.
Yeah.
I can't see that on here.
I can do it on the phone.
Yeah. But yeah, TJ Watt, I feel like he deserves to break it too for how long he, like, we thought he was going to sit out at the start of the season because he wasn't getting that contract extension. And I'm not sure why it took the Steelers so long to do that, because clearly in the past years we've seen how good TJ Watt is too. And I bet the Steelers are glad they locked him up for quite a long time, because he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. And I mean, Michael Parsons, as you said, he'll win Defensive Rookie of the Year, but this is TJ Watt's award to run away with. So
it's not even close. Even with his, like, obviously plays off the edge a lot, he rushes the quarterback a lot, but he's really good in the pass game too. In the last game, he had two passes defended along with four sacks. Like, he's like, Marco Parsons is like a junior of TJ Watt. TJ Watt's just that much better than Micah Parsons right now, at least.
So you want me to pull up the averages, Nick? TJ Watt's averaging 14.6, and second is Cameron Hayward at 10.3. This is a 4.3 gas per game.
Yeah, and who knows how good Cameron Hayward will be, but next year. But yeah, it's ridiculous. So I mean, we'll jump into the next thing. We covered that for a little bit. So I mean, I'll let you guys start with Rashad Penny. We'll cover him for a little bit, as his trend has just been up and up and up and up. So you guys want to start with that?
Nick, you go ahead.
I just love Rashad Penny. Thank you for ever dropped him, man. I spent $400 on the waivers on him. But yeah, going back to the draft, they called him the Ferrari. They just needed to let him out of the garage, man. And they finally let him out of the garage. And since he's actually getting his volume now, his yards per carry has never been bad. It's been like 4.5 to like
No, it's five. Been like five. His yards per carry is insane. Yeah, his yards per carry has been insane. It's just he keeps getting hurt. He's always hurt.
Well, he's been healthy for this short period of time. and he is producing, let me tell you that. The last game I watched him, it was like 20-yard run. And it's just like, he was already at like 100 yards in the game at like halftime. Yeah. And he's got very high upside. I really hope the Seahawks sign him again and just let Chris Carson walk. But if he does leave, me and Hamza were talking about this. You said that Miami would be a really good spot for him. I just can't really think of any other spots that would really be good for him. Go for it.
I think Miami, Atlanta, Buffalo is the place that everyone talks about as like being a good spot. But I think Miami, Atlanta, and returning to Seattle are three best spots for him, assuming they don't bring in like another like a big guy. Those are the best spots for him if he is like. I'm assuming he's not going to be like a workhorse. He'd be like a 1A, 1B sort of thing. I think that's the best case scenario is one of those spots.
I mean, for me, so just to also highlight Chris Carson's contract, they have a potential out this year, which I think they'll take. But he's still under contract until 2023. But yeah, Rashad Penny, in the last 4 weeks, three of those 4 weeks, he's put up at least 135 rushing yards. So, I mean, we obviously see that this guy can run, but talking about the landing spots, I actually think Atlanta's the best one for him because with Miami, their offensive line is the worst in the league, so that's not going to help Penny at all. Like, if you want somebody to go there, you want somebody like a Najee Harris, like a bigger guy, which, I mean, Penny's 220, so he's not small by any standards, but you do want that, like, bigger back if they're going to be behind a terrible offensive line. And then with Buffalo, Josh Allen gets a lot of those rushing touchdowns anyway. They just, like, sneak it in, or he throws it to Dawson Knox or Stephon Diggs or whatever, right? I feel like his ceiling would be super capped if he were to go to a place like that. But I feel like if he were to go to Atlanta, he'd really strive because Cordero Patterson's contract's up and Mike Davis's contract's up. So they don't really have a back under contract next year. And so I think, I mean, if they sign Rashad Penny, I want people to remember that he was a first-round pick for a reason out of San Diego State. There's a reason why this man was highly talented. So just don't keep him on your radars and go get him if you can.
All three of us have owned Rashad Penny at some point in our league. Looking at that just now. Yeah, yeah. I think, Jason, you... let me pull this on.
I think I probably messed up with him.
But... Jason, you took him in our startup. Yeah, yeah. And then I gave you Geis. This is during both their rookie seasons, right? Or no, is it... Or was it their second year? It's 2019. The 2019 season.
2019 was their second year.
Second year. Yeah, I gave you Geis, and I got Penny and Haskins.
Wow, what a trade that was for all of us. I mean, that was great. Darius Geis served me well. Haskins and Penny served you real well, too. So.
Then I gave you Penny back. I gave you Penny back for DeMarcus Lawrence right after.
That was the trade I shouldn't have done, but DeMarcus Lawrence is really good. I mean, he hasn't really played since then. So, who are we gonna?
This year, he's been good. He's been very good.
Yeah. Nick, any final thoughts on that?
Nah. I pretty much said everything I think about Rashad Penny, and I mean, Atlanta would be a really good spot for him. But who knows? You never really know with Atlanta what they're thinking. And they could just randomly draft a running back in the first round when that's probably what they really don't need.
They're not gonna fucking do that. They're gonna get a top 10 pick. Not taking like a running back top 10.
Yeah, you shouldn't. But you never know with the Falcons.
They're gonna take Tyler Lindenbaum with a center in their first round pick. All right, moving to Big Ben. Obviously, we know that he's retiring after this season. We know that he's not going to be with Pittsburgh, I should say. We technically don't know if he's retiring, but I mean, we can all put it together. He's retiring this year. So, I mean, I guess I'll leave it off to you guys to talk about his situation, like his position's situation. And if you guys think that it's going to be Rudolph, Haskins, or another rookie quarterback, maybe they draft one. But yeah, I'll leave that up to you guys.
I don't think anyone thinks Rudolph or Haskins is taking that job. They're either signing someone in free agency or they're working out a trade of some sort for like Minshew maybe, or they're drafting someone. In no way they're letting Rudolph take. They've tried that already. And I was part of that ride. I was Team Mason Rudolph for the longest time. That it's just that's not going to work out. I hope they don't do that.
Miles Garrett just knocked him with a helmet. My ride was over. yeah, Jason, you were just comparing Mason Rudolph and like Wayne Haskins to like Joe Flacco. Are they elite? Oh no, they're just not elite at all. But yeah, in this situation, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are obviously going to draft the quarterback. I think that they should either go with Matt Corral. I really like Pickett too, but we'll save that for later podcasts on the road. But yeah, that's personally what I think they should do. But Big Ben's had a hell of a career and Hall of Fame career.
It's impressive that he stayed in the league this long. I mean, we saw Eli and Phillip Rivers stay in the league really long too, but they didn't make it this long. So I actually have like a little idea of what I think is going to happen that I think the Steelers should do. And looking back on it, I may be an idiot for saying this, but why not anyway, right? I actually think that they're going to sign Tyler Huntley because his contract's up this year, and Tyler Huntley, in Lamar's absence, has actually played really, really well. He's got that rushing upside, which a lot of like the NFL's moving in a direction where you need the rushing upside, where you just need that as a option. Not necessarily rely on it. Like Lamar doesn't do it every single play, but he's got that upside where he can do it and the defenses have to respect it and they have to cover for it. But I think that they should do that because it'll mean that they can actually use their draft picks to upgrade the offensive line to help out Najee and Tyler Huntley, because their offensive line was not very good this year and Najee can't do everything for that team. He tries, he runs the ball, he catches the ball on the flats, but there's only so much he can do when defenses are in his face from the moment that they say hike. So I think that they should sign Tyler Huntley, but yeah, as you guys said, Mason Rudolph and Haskins aren't the go, but I mean, I guess we never know what the Steelers could do because they can do whatever they want. But as long as, I mean, we talked about DJ Watt for a little bit, as long as they have a defense like they do with Minka and TJ Watt and all those guys, I think that they should sign a quarterback like Tyler Huntley or somebody like that to take the reins. But that's just my take on it. So,
but they also could head in a completely different direction. And there is some big names in free agency and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And I feel like Aaron Rodgers really likes Mike Tomlin, too. So, if Aaron Rodgers went there, I think they could easily be a Super Bowl contender with that defense. And I think Deontay Johnson, Claypool, will really succeed under Aaron Rodgers. I think that could be another direction that Steelers go that would really blow up the league in my eyes.
I want Jameis Winston to find his way to Pittsburgh. I think that would be great for the receivers there. What's his contract looking like? Jameis Winston. He signed a 1-year deal, right? Yeah, he's a free agent. He's an unrestricted free agent this year. So if someone like if Winston could go there, or maybe like, I know we talked about how Lance is going to be the guy, so Garoppolo would be the odd one out. If Garoppolo could go there, maybe. I would rather have someone like Winston go there. I think that'd be amazing for them. I like Deontay Johnson a lot. I think by Roethlisberger leaving, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers players, their stock is going to be going up. If they can get someone who just slings it, I think that'd be very good for them.
Yeah, I mean, we'll revisit that if that, like, one of those things happen. But yeah, if Jameis Winston goes there, we're obviously going to be talking about Chase Claypool, the deep threat on that team, because that'll help him a ton. So, but any last thoughts? Anything you guys want to say?
Like to close out?
Yeah, just before we end it.
I don't think so. I think just besides the fact that, like, this is our first one, if there is feedback, please, please, please give it to us, because we're doing the best with what we know, but we don't know a whole lot. So if there's any advice that people have, that'd be great. It'd only make us better, and that's what we're looking to do. Yeah, that's really it.
Yeah, maybe. So if you guys have any comments that you guys want to say, just leave it in the comment section of the YouTube, DM us on Twitter or Instagram, or you guys can actually leave us a message in, if you guys are listening to our podcast, you guys can leave us a message on Anchor as well. But yeah, just please reach out to us, let us know how we can improve. If there's any topics you guys want us to talk about, let us know. We'll talk about those topics as you guys, we want to talk about what you guys want to hear, because otherwise we're just going to be talking to ourselves. So just let us know what you guys want from us. And obviously just, yeah. Anything else, Nick?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, see if like maybe they want us to see like a film review on somebody, maybe deep dive into stats on somebody else in the league, sell highs, I mean, and buy lows. I mean, anything else. We're just really looking for advice right now since this is our first podcast.
Thank you guys for listening, watching, however you guys are listening or watching to us. But just check us out on all of our platforms on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Spotify, and Anchor, all at all the other ones are at Dynasty Fantasy Football Talk. And then Twitter is at Dynasty FFT. So just please follow us on those accounts. Stay up to date with us. Let us know what we can do to make this a better situation. Thank you guys for listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.